Hey, it's Melissa. Thanks for hanging out with me. A lot of you know me as Mel in the evenings, but I am here with members of the Indiana FFA. In fact, I am here with a couple of the premier state officers. Right now, I've got Tyler Kilmer in-house. He is the Northern Region Vice President, and also Nicholas Newman, and I'm not looking at you this time because Nicholas cracks me up every time I look at him. But Nicholas is the state secretary, and I am so happy to have you guys in-house to talk about Indiana FFA. Definitely something that I have a passion for. You guys know my history. We're not going to go into it here because these guys have heard it over and over again. And believe me, it's like a broken record for them. But I want you to talk about Indiana FFA. Hey, can you tell I do this for a living? Indiana FFA. For those who don't know what FFA is, give us a description of the organization and its purpose.
Awesome. We're really excited to be here to begin. We're excited to be on the show. So Indiana FFA, we are a CTSO, which is a career and student technical organization. So we have 219 chapters across the state of Indiana with around 12,000 FFA members. We operate on a three-circle model of FFA, classroom, and SAE, which is our supervised agricultural experiences. So FFA and agricultural education is intracurricular. We can be found in schools. We can be taught in schools. It's part of the curriculum to educate those in our schools about agricultural education. Then there's the FFA portion where we learn leadership skills and those technical skills that we need to be successful in life. And there's also the supervised agricultural experiences, which is the opportunity to apply the knowledge that we learn through FFA and through the classroom in the real world. So that's the opportunity to run your own business, to have your own animals. It's the opportunity to start spending money and earning money. So that's kind of FFA as a general bird's eye view.
Okay. Now, this is one of the questions that I get asked a lot. Do you have to have a background in agriculture in order to be a member of FFA?
Oh, the easy answer to that one is just no. I think immediately of one of our fellow state officers, Madison Carnes, our state sentinel, and she has zero background when it comes to agriculture. She grew up in a city, and so she has no background with animals or row crop farming of any sort, and yet she's one of the most passionate people you can find advocating for agriculture. She found it to be an industry that was home because of the people that were within it. She said that they were a family to her, and that's what brought her into FFA and made her want to be a state officer. And so simply, you don't have to have any form of a background in agriculture, and you can still find your place within FFA, and you can still be extremely successful within the organization.
What are some of the ways that FFA benefits its members? You can be a little more detailed. I know we've kind of touched base on it just a little bit, you know. But be a little more detailed about some of the things that FFA offers and what members actually get out of that.
As a child, when I was growing up, I did grow up on a traditional row crop operation. But my dad would say agriculture builds character. In my time in FFA, I found it's FFA builds character. Because when you're in the classroom or when you're in the SAEs or when you're working within those competitive events, you build character. You gain those skills that are needed for life. It's not only the skills of like soils judging or dairy judging or how to evaluate those items, but it's also time management, responsibility, and organization. It's those skills that are transferable to anything that you do in life after FFA or after high school. It's public speaking skills. It's being able to communicate. It's being able to work with others as a team. And that's really what FFA promotes and what FFA works to incorporate into our organization. So it's not just in the classroom, but it's really those skills that every single person gets and every single person can benefit from.
Yeah, building off that a little bit more, I immediately think of what a conversation we had not too long ago with Ted McKinney, who works with state and national government, and as well as a couple other business professional CEOs of companies have said this as well. They said the ability to put FFA on your application for something significantly raises your chances of getting that, whether it's a college or a scholarship or a job. They said that when they see it on a job application that they were a member for however many years, That application goes to the top of their stack, and it's one that they're going to take seriously because they know that those skills that Nick listed are things that all FFA members are going to possess. And they know that that's what's going to make a good employee. And it's the same thing when it comes to scholarships. Those scholarship committees, they're looking for people who have those types of skills that FFA can offer, and colleges are looking for the exact same thing. And so being able to put FFA on your application just boost your chances of achieving things later on in life significantly. And so I say that's one of the biggest selling points I have for the organization, is that being a part of it is going to help you later on a whole lot.
Well, and these guys aren't just blowing smoke on that. I'll be honest. I can testify to that because of my kids. Both of my kids were very strong in FFA all the way through. And like you said, on an application, my son, to be specific, I'll go him first. I can do this with my daughter too, but with my son specifically, he was in college in Ohio, and he got 15 calls after he took his last final. He didn't even know what his grades were yet. He had 15 calls for job interviews, and one in particular that stood out to him was the first thing they said was, we got your grades. The school sends out your transcripts. We know what that is. We're interested in all of this FFA stuff that you had for your extracurriculars. And that's what they were interested in. That's what they talked to him about, and he was hired on the spot. So, I mean, that was amazing. And he got that from some of the others that he actually talked to, but the one that really sparked his interest was the one that they focused on what he actually did, not so much the grades that he had. So my daughter, you talked about scholarship opportunities. The thing with her was all of that knowledge that she got through FFA, not only the leadership, but also the ag education, you know, everything that she got from FFA went on those scholarship forms. And she has a degree in ag business, never paid a cent. All of it was paid for through scholarships. She got an internship as a freshman, even though her advisor told her, you're not going to get it. You're a freshman. Doesn't happen. And she said, but I'll send you out on the interviews. Be good experience for you so you'll be ready for it down the road. And this is Susan Brocksmith, so I will say that. You guys know who Susan is. But she told her that, and then Susan called me that night, and she said, you won't believe it, but your daughter has an internship. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. She said, I've never seen a freshman get one before. But she laid it back to all the skills and everything that she got through FFA that made her a strong candidate. And the fact that she had the attitude that they haven't met me yet. And because of that strong background in FFA, she was able to be that positive about her skills. And she went out and she got the internship as a freshman. So, yeah, FFA is, I've seen it in my own family. And that's why I am so passionate about it. But I really get excited when I see kids like you who are so passionate about it and out there advocating for it in all aspects of it. So, you know, we talk about how it carries over for the members, but how's it carry over for the schools and the community that's around those schools? So how does FFA, how's the impact of FFA carry over beyond the members?
So a large part of FFA is focused on service-based learning, and that directly ties back into your schools or back into your community. I'm originally from Rushville, and that was one of the main pillars of our specific chapter was service-based learning. So we would constantly, we ran community service projects through recycling programs, through packaging food, through tying blankets. It's a constant in almost every single chapter across the state of Indiana, where we focus on service-based learning through community service. And it is really just that time to see the community grow, community pride grow for what your organization is doing, just like any other sports team would. But what we are doing within the classroom, within our SAEs, always ties back into the community and keeps the community in mind.
Yeah, I think about, I'm from Tri-County, and so I think about what we were doing community service project-wise, and the more I think about it, the more I realize that there was a lot of stuff we did that I wasn't even considering community service. And looking back, it truly was. Like, for example, we had a small sweet corn patch, and I always thought it was just teaching the skills of agriculture and farming and like how to raise a plant. And I now realize what we did with all the sweet corn we raised. We donated it to our school and the local food pantry. And it was there were just so many community service projects we just did in passing because it was what we did in FFA. We hosted blood drives several times throughout the years. We did canned food projects like every other month. We did packaging for soap for third world countries. There's so many things we did. And part of the FFA mission is the living to serve. And so every single member and every single chapter is extremely pushing for that living to serve. And so every single person is trying to make that impact and does make that impact.
Part of the FFA mission is learning to do. And by teaching that through FFA, you have explained LDEs, explained CDEs, and LDW.
Yeah.
And you might as well hit SAEs, too, because you've mentioned those a couple of times, too. So all those acronyms, talk about them. Tell people about them.
Yeah, I'll start with the contest side of that. So that would be our LDEs and CDEs. So LDEs is an acronym standing for Leadership Development Event. Yeah. Leadership Development Event, and CDE stands for Career Development Event. So there's two different types there. The career side, the CDEs, those are more your agricultural-focused contests, so doing soils judging, meat judging, your livestock type stuff. The more traditional when you think of agriculture, those are those types of contests. And then you have your non-traditional things that you learn in FFA, and that's where your LDEs or Leadership Development Events come in. And so that's your stuff like your public speaking, it's your essay, it's your job interview, it's the stuff where you're learning the skills that you're going to use in any type of job, no matter what you do after college. And so we have two very different and diverse areas of contest, and overall they together are able to showcase and build skills for all of agriculture and all of FFA.
And Mel, the acronyms keep on coming. We also, a large portion of FFA are our SAEs, and those stand for Supervised Agricultural Experiences. And each member within a chapter is required to have an SAE. And as I've mentioned earlier, it's kind of that opportunity to put the skills that you learn through FFA and in the classroom to use. Personally, my SAEs, I worked on a dairy farm for 5 years. And it is that money that I raise. It is FFA encourages you to get a job. It encourages you to start your own business. It encourages you to create your own job. That's really what we're doing to make sure what we're learning in the classrooms is actually applicable. So I worked on a dairy farm for 5 years as one of my SAEs. Then another, I actually started my own baking business that I ran for 3 years during COVID, where I found great success just creating items that I could sell back to my community. And that's what SAEs, or Supervised Agricultural Experiences, teach us, is the ability to advertise, market, work with others on a team, and also to have a job that makes an impact. So that is another large part of our organization and one of those pesky acronyms.
Okay, I'm bummed because I didn't get samples on that, but there's still time.
There's still time.
Yeah.
We'll see state convention.
Yeah, yes. State convention. I expect at least something. So I'm just kidding. I'm giving you a hard time. Thank you, by the way, for calling me by my name and not Mrs. Miller. So I appreciate that. Mrs. Miller, I tell everybody, was my mother-in-law. It is not me. So I thank you for that. We've talked about all the acronyms. I want you to take this down to a personal level. You've talked a little bit about the activities and stuff that you had in FFA. And I know, you know, we talk about convention just a little bit there, the convention, you're going to be winding down your year of service. You guys have actually taken a year off from college to, instead of going and starting college, you guys took a year off to serve the state organization as officers and go around and be advocates for FFA. But on a personal side of it, talk about what FFA has meant to you throughout your career, and then tell us also what your future plans are.
Yeah, I can start. So to me, FFA is a family. I got into FFA because my older sisters were in it, as well as my parents, grandparents. And so it just seemed natural for me to join. But I continued with it because of that family aspect. I met most of my best friends there, and the friends that would go to battle for me type of thing. And so it's that family aspect that I've enjoyed so much through FFA. I've been able to meet people from across the state, across the nation. And so I still keep in contact with a lot of those people, and FFA is just a big family. And so that's what it means to me. As for what I'll be doing after this year's service, I'll be attending Purdue University, studying agricultural systems management. And so that's like the technology side of agriculture. And so with a degree in that, I'm hoping to work for an ag tech company that specializes in row crop farming. That way I can work directly with the farmer and be able to continue with agriculture where my roots lie. So that's my plans for the future.
Kind of similar to Tyler, my why for FFA is about fitting in. When I was a freshman, you know, I played soccer my entire life. I've had done 4-H, I've done all of these events, but I never found my place. And it wasn't until I became involved with an FFA that I found my people. And that's what I've kind of been preaching my entire state officer year, is the goal is to find your people. And I have never found more passionate people or more purposeful people or people who want to make an impact than within National FFA organization. So that is my why. It's because when I am there, I feel empowered to do better. No matter who you're with, no matter who you're involved with, you're in a good place and you're with good people. So that's kind of my reason why I was involved with an FFA, because I found my people. I found my purpose and my passion. Following my year as state officer, I'll be going to Purdue to dual major in agricultural economics and political science, with a hope to go into home and community development to bring agricultural companies back into our local and rural communities. So that's kind of my plan, but FFA is what will lead me there.
Well, I have no doubt that you guys will succeed. I mean, I've watched you guys. I've enjoyed it. I always get a little melancholy when June comes around, just because there are so many of you that I have watched as you have come up through the ranks, you know, from junior high all the way up. And it amazes me the growth that this organization helps you achieve. And that's all, it is a tool. That's all it is. I mean, you know, it starts at home. It starts with family. But then, as you said, this is a big family. This gives you the tools that you need to grow and develop as a person, as a human being. And it just amazes me what you guys achieve throughout that process. And I look forward to the future for you guys. I look forward to everything that you guys achieve into your adulthood. And I'm not going to belittle you by saying you're not adults, because to me, you are. That's one of the things that I see with kids in FFA, is that the maturity is there a lot sooner than it is for a lot of people. And I don't take that lightly. You guys are adults to me, and I'm the kid, more or less. You guys know that that's probably more truth to that than what I like to admit. But I love the passion. You guys know I love the organization. I've been involved in it longer than you guys have been alive. So thank you for coming. Thank you for talking about FFA. And I hope to do this again with you guys, to come back as adults and tell me about your passion and your careers. And you can come and visit me for Ag Day. That'll be a great, yeah, there's a segue into Ag Day for me. So you guys can come in and visit me as an adult and tell us about your career. So thank you again for being here. And I look forward. The future is bright with FFA.
Thank you for having us. We really enjoyed talking to you today.